This is Hans Scheil from the Finishing Well podcast. On Finishing Well, we help you make godly choices about Medicare, long-term care, and your money. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Welcome to Kingdom Pursuits. And no, this isn't Robbie Dillmore, in case you couldn't tell. My name is Ann Ault, and I'm blessed to guest host for Robbie today. And before I forget, I want to thank the producer, Sean Ouellette. He does a great job. And when I guest host, it goes so fast, I don't have time to thank him. So thank you, Sean. By the way, I am part of Robbie's other show, The Christian Car Guy, and if you were listening to The Christian Car Guy show just today, you heard episode 19 of The Plymouth's Progress, which is based on the old classic book by John Bunyan called The Pilgrim's Progress, only this is the car version, The Plymouth's Progress, and the part of the pilgrim named Christian in the original classic is called Plymouth Valiant, played by Jesse Corti, who was the original LeFou in Disney's animated Beauty and the Beast. And he did a character in Zootopia and so much more. You can see his credits on our site, Christian Car Guy Theater. Jesse is brilliant as Valiant in this series, but the last episode 18 and this one as well. Valiant opposing the evil Apollyon. It's the most amazing podcast. Try to listen to these podcasts. Only about 10 minutes long. But quickly to give you a little history of our Christian Car Guy Theater, which might encourage you in your kingdom pursuits about being faithful in the little things, and God gives power over much. But in 2015, Robbie knew I had done over 200 episodes on Adventures in Odyssey, and we talked about doing radio theater. Robbie just went for it and did the first Christian Car Guy Theater show by himself in 2015. I was on the second show, and since then we gathered this most wonderful, all of us volunteer, talented team of actors. Well, them, anyway. You can find out all about our team on the Christian Car Guy Theater side. But what an amazing thing to start with just the two of us in 2015 and watch how the Lord gathered the team of wonderful actors who love the Lord. Christian Car Guy Theater. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. And, you know, my old pastor, Lloyd Ogilvie, used to say, where God guides, He provides. And that is so true. But at the same time, it can be exhausting holding on to a dream. Have you all noticed that? It's exhausting sometimes. And that's yet another reason to just hold tight to the Lord. And today, it's my joy to interview a couple that I knew all the way back to 2009 or so when we all lived in Burbank. And then they moved to Atlanta and I moved to North Carolina. And I had wanted them to help do the film version of a faith-based movie that is a beautiful Japanese-American love story called Heart's Desire. And it has been quite a saga over the years we've all gone through. My screenplay won a few awards, but we're getting closer. And they are award-winning, God-honoring filmmakers, Wes and Amanda Llewellyn. And before I actually get them on board right now, I'm going to read their credits real quickly so you'll know what great guys and what troopers they are. They are recovering from COVID. And I felt when I was in the car that I just want our audience to say amen, to wish them a speedy, healthy recovery starting right now. And they're both doing much better. Wes Llewellyn has been a filmmaker in the motion picture industry for over 30 years on hundreds of productions in various positions, including chief lighting technician, director of photography, writer, producer, most often director, you know, Renaissance people here. For 12 and a half years, he directed dramatic reenactments on the popular Christian show, you know, the talk show, Sid Roth, It's Supernatural, 5.7 million a week. He has That's the audience, I'd imagine, not the money they give him. But anyway, he has numerous awards for his work, including three-time a winner, 168 Film Festival, the 168-hour Film Festival, our friend John Ware, and Telly Awards, Angel Awards, Dove Awards, and I Know God's Rewards. You know, his two award-winning full-length feature films, these are great. I saw him years ago, The Moment After and The Moment After 2, The Awakening. We're in distribution with Sony Home DVD and are currently with PureFlix. Currently, Wes has several projects in development, and one being Heart's Desire. And that's an adaptation of the book by the same name by Pat Sciota. But what an indomitable force these two are. And Amanda Llewellyn, they have 70 years of experience, the two of them. Amanda, they're not that old, believe me. Amanda has considerable experience in the entertainment industry, many years as a performer, 20 years as a makeup artist and hairstylist, along with a variety of other jobs on the film set, from script supervisor to set decorator to production coordinator. I mean, she has done it all in the last 20 years or so as writer and producer. And she's several awards for best screenplay, including the 2017 168-hour Film Festival in L.A. For 12 years was producing and writing the reenactment section of the TV show Sid Roth's It's Supernatural. And Amanda has, gotten... Oh, gosh, just so many things. She's currently in development for several feature films and television shows for both the general public and faith-based market. After their longtime experience in Los Angeles, both she and her director husband, Wes, are continuing to work from production through post in Georgia. So finally, before we've come to station break, ta-da, Wes and Amanda Llewellyn of 4L Films. And folks, these are real troopers. They are recovering from COVID and yet are doing this interview. And I was driving to the station today and I did feel to ask the audience to pray for you guys. How are you doing, guys?
We're good.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear it. I have so many questions I want to ask you. And, of course, we do have the next segment, too, which is all you. I will not be blathering. But you sound great. Now, I know I had talked with Amanda the other day, and we talked a long time, right? I was amazed.
Yeah. It's the busyness and the fatigue that's been really terrible. But, you know. Fortunately, I didn't get the kind of COVID where, you know, I was having pneumonia or things like that.
Thank God.
This is quite a different variant, but it still can kick your tushy.
Yeah. Oh gosh. And then Wes, she was saying that you're a lot more robust in many ways. So you seem to be.
Yeah. I think it's that Irish blood.
That's it, buddy. Not to mention the Lord. I have so many questions. I want you to kind of just do stream of consciousness stuff here. You know what I mean? I mean, just go with flow. Tell me the things that, we only have 2 minutes. Horrors, but then we have 12 on the other side. So, but don't worry. I want to know how you met the Lord and how he called you into doing the things you're doing.
Oh, for me, it was my mother's fault. She,
your mother's fault.
It was. She wrote, produced, and directed children's plays in the local elementary school because there was absolutely no arts or entertainment or anything like that. And that was something my older sister and I were very interested in. And so
East Coast Florida.
Yeah, East Coast Florida, Brevard County. My dad was an astrophysicist, research scientist for the Defense Department, and so, there was an awful lot of sciencey things and baseball, but there was nothing else. So she started volunteering in school to do theater, and she wrote, produced, and directed children's plays all over the place in the county, and that's kind of how I grew up. So I was theatrically adroit from the time I was a really little kid, painting scenery, sewing costumes, all that kind of stuff. And so there wasn't really much of a choice. Because I loved it so much.
Yeah.
So I ended up in the entertainment industry. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, I'll tell you, you have quite a resume. I mean, you've done everything, which kind of is me, too. I've been Nanny Annie, Granny Annie, as well as, you know, been the waitress jobs before you get all the acting jobs and everything else. You know, it's amazing. Well, Wes, We have about 30 seconds left, so just get to the first part, and then we'll continue on the other side.
Well, I guess I was always the kid that my mom, you know, when I was 12, would drop me off at the theater.
Oh, what fun. It's that Irish thing. Drop the kid off at the theater. Okay, hold on, guys. We'll be right back with Kingdom Pursuits with Wes and Amanda Llewellyn.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where God takes your passion and uses it to further his kingdom. And we were just at the station break at the point where we were listening to Wes Llewellyn from 4L Films, award-winning duo here. You guys just amaze me. And at the station break, we were listening to Wes explain how he got into the business or loved show business. And his mother, as a kid, was dropping him at the theater, which makes me laugh. I had a little of that myself. So continue, by all means, please, Wes.
She dropped me off, and I'd sit in the theater and just watch the movie over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Until she'd pick me up, you know, in the street, like, came on, kind of thing. And I guess as a kid, I'm very dyslexic and always have been. And
yeah, I hear you.
So books were always a challenge to me, but I love the movies. I love stories. I love seeing stories told. And there was just something magic on that screen. I didn't understand it.
Right.
But I knew I wanted to be a part of it. And I had no concept of, you know, filmmaking, directing and cinematography. But as I got older, I began to realize that the magic was behind the camera.
Right.
That's where it really happened. Not to discount what you do in front of the camera, Ann. But that's magic, too. But
yeah. But I hear you.
What happened behind the camera is such magic.
And
yeah. I just, he took me up, had an opportunity to go up to Virginia Beach to go to graduate school after I finished undergrad, and made the decision kind of at the last minute had a gentleman kind of look at me. I had 2 hours to decide what I was going to do with the rest of my life. You know, was I going to study photography, which I'd done a lot of photography, and through high school, worked as a photographer, worked in the dark room through college. And so he kind of looked at me, shook his finger, and said, you know what, I almost majored in film when I was your age, and I didn't. And I've regretted it ever since. And I knew that was God speaking to me. So I actually left that orientation and went and signed up for the film department instead of photography. And, been following it ever since. And I love, my favorite story in the Bible is David and Goliath.
Yeah.
That period. Not necessarily just that story, but what is amazing to me is what David did. He sat out and took care of the sheep. His father put him out in a lowly job taking care of sheep. And what did he do all day? He played the harp, and he played practiced with his slingshot, which we think of as a minor tool, but at the time it was a major tool. It'd be like having a pistol,
right,
in the wilderness now. It was his gun.
Yeah.
And he practiced and practiced and practiced with that. And he prepared and prepared and prepared. And he probably had times he's going, what am I doing? I'm wasting my life. I'm sitting out here playing the harp and shooting a slingshot. And then when the opportunity arose, the two skills he needed to get where God wanted him was that slingshot and the harp. And he was prepared. And I look back at my life and I look at, you know, things I did. Like I said, I was the photographer. I bought a Nikon camera. That was back before everybody was shooting Instamatics, and I mowed lawns all summer and bought a Nikon camera. And I learned how to use it. I learned how to shoot with it. I learned how to process film.
That was your slingshot.
Yeah, I built my own darkroom in the back of our garage, and I would process film. And I would shoot and shoot and shoot. And then I worked through college in the darkroom. And all I did, most of my job was printing, just printing, working in the darkroom, printing pictures, composing, constantly recomposing shots, composing. And those years of just studying composition and looking how images looked and how film reacted and how it worked, I think that was my, like you said, it was my slingshot, my heart.
Yeah.
And then God brought me into filmmaking, and I've been pursuing it ever since. I haven't looked back.
Yeah. It's just been amazing. And I know, I mean, Earth life isn't easy. Have you noticed that? But as God, as Lloyd Ogilvie said, God guide, where God guides, he provides. And if we have ears to hear, but it's that listening. And Amanda, I know that I'd love to know how you and Wes decided to have 4L. What does 4L film stand for? That's the number 4, and then the capital L.
Simple. It's, if you look at our last name, it's LLEWELLYN.
Ah.
4L. It was just when we were in Los Angeles, our company was Llewellyn Films. Nobody knew how to spell Llewellyn.
That's true. I know LLEWELL. How funny.
And we went to get our website, and Llewellyn Films was actually taken by some
weird Wiccan thing
in England. So we said, well, how about 4L Films? We have 4Ls, which is 4L Films. So that was our website, which we've had for years. And then when we moved to Atlanta, had to dissolve Llewellyn Films in California, we just said, well, let's just call the company 4L Films. So there's not really a big, deep secret in it.
Yeah.
It's just our name, and people can spell 4L Films much easier than Llewellyn.
Yeah. Yeah, once you get the hang of it, though, it's easy. Well, thank you. I was always wondering, what does that mean? That's so isn't it funny, the different stories? So you guys, obviously you met and married, and I know there's I won't necessarily say anything, but there was a cute story, if I remember, Amanda, where, you know, you were telling Wes how you couldn't marry him or something, and then he leaned over and kissed you. Is that what happened?
Yeah, pretty much.
We were friends. We were just buddies. There was nothing.
No holding hands, no kissing, no sweaty palms.
We ended up just doing things together because we liked each other's company. And I went over to her house one night, and we were just going to watch a movie on TV. And I remember I had taken off my shoes, and she started doing the crying, talking thing that you women do. Sorry. Started telling me that, you know, we just couldn't date. There was no way we could date. It wasn't in the car. And I thought, well, I guess I'm going home. So I put on one shoe. And I remember, because I looked at my watch, I sat there for 45 minutes while she told me why we couldn't date. And then after 45 minutes, it just finally dawned on me, oh my goodness, she's in love with me. And I did what any red-blooded male would do. I kissed her. And she got mad at me.
How could you?
Oh,
you're ruining our friendship. How could you?
And she said, how long have you been planning that? And I said, well, I really hadn't planned it. And she started fussing again, so I did the only thing I could do to keep her quiet. I kissed her again.
By the third kiss, I realized that this is probably the real deal.
I've never forgotten that story. I thought it was hysterical.
It doesn't take me long. Yeah, it was so funny because all of our friends knew we were in love with each other, and then we had apparently fallen in love with each other way back in New Orleans when we had first met.
Uh-huh.
But that's a whole other story, which you do not have time for.
But what a novel concept, marrying your best friend.
No, it's good because...
I know.
when certain things tend to fade,
yeah.
If you don't have that friendship as a basis...
Exactly. You know,
where are you going to reignite if you don't have a basis and a really good friendship? And Wes and I are really good friends with each other. We'll tell each other the truth.
Yeah.
Which helps a lot because we're writing partners too.
Yeah.
we can look at each other and go, oh, honey, I love you, but that stinks.
That's not exactly the way it goes, dear.
She is usually one who tells me.
It's one of those things where we realize kind of early on that the best way for us to face the world is with our backs to each other and our swords pointed out.
I like that. Actually, we only have 2 minutes. I am so sad to say, but I mean, what a way to crown. I mean, they know what you've done, but this gives them, I love you guys. You have put up with me. We're becoming friends, whether we like it or not, over these years. I love you so much. I really do. I always have. And you tell me you love me too. So that's an amazing thing. But I mean, it is amazing when you've had the guts to expose yourself as a human being with all the flaws and you still love each other. That's marvelous.
Well, it's a God thing.
Yeah.
It really is, you know, that he forgives us so much.
Yeah.
He really does. And it is our obligation to do the same for one another and to be kind whenever we can be and to think of your partner first before you think of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus thinks of us first at every moment.
Yeah.
And we should be just doing the same thing here, modeling that behavior whenever we can. It's not easy. I mean, it's not easy.
Well, Earth life isn't easy, and we're human. I mean, unfortunately, we're still fallen humans, saved by grace. We have.
Yeah.
I just can't thank you enough for being on, and may the Most High in the sky bless you, dear guys. As I'm so blessed to know you through thick and thin, and I look forward to. I do think there are good things ahead. Don't you guys think so? I mean, as crazy as the world is, I believe we're headed, it's not too late to create good, excellent projects and films that draw people to the way, truth, and life. Don't you think?
Yeah. God didn't call us to worry about the war.
Yeah. Amen. Oh, thank you, Wes and Amanda Llewellyn of 4L Films. May the Most High in the sky. May our dear Lord bless and keep you both, make you stronger than ever with all the antibodies you're going to have now. And God grant you great success as he leads.
Thank you.
Including Heart's Desire. But that's for another program.
Love
you so much. Bye-bye. Stay tuned for more.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back to our newest segment, God in Hollywood, hosted by Brad Silverman of Kappa Studios in Burbank, California, and his filmmaker guest today, Garrett Hampton. Take it away, Brad.
And so good to be with you. Great to hear your voice, friend.
You too.
Good to be with you. Well, hey, you know, we got a fun, cool, pretty inspiring guest with us today on God in Hollywood, and as you know, if your listeners just kind of learning about God in Hollywood, we're those guys in Burbank, right, the media capital of the planet here in Los Angeles. And a couple years ago, we just dedicated our company to Christ and said we exist to serve Christ. And over the last few years, he's just raised up other filmmakers around us who want to do the same thing. They want to impact the world for Christ through their film and television shows. And so we felt we've been called to really help identify some of these very talented, very just inspirational filmmakers who are doing stuff for the cause of Christ. And today, we got Garrett Hampton with us. Now, Garrett lived, he and his wife, Yvette, and their two very young daughters, lived in our neck of the woods in Los Angeles area. And he and his wife did something so bold, so daring, I don't think a lot of people would do. I know I wouldn't do it. Garrett, tell us, what did you guys do a few years ago?
Well, a few years ago, God called us to sell everything, our home, all our possessions, except for some filmmaking gear, and gather our family into a travel trailer and leave our home and travel the country to make a documentary on homeschooling. And more than just homeschooling, it's really a film about family discipleship. So that's what we did. And we spent about 2.5 years living in that travel trailer, traveling the country, shooting that film, and we've just finished. And now the film is at Kappa Studios in post.
And we couldn't be happier. It's an amazing, amazing project. And in a minute, Anne, we're going to tell everyone how part of our mission here is we want to introduce these projects and these filmmakers to the body of Christ.
Amen.
So that we, as the greater body of Christ, can rally around these filmmakers and help them get these projects to the big screen, to the streaming platforms, to the culture, because these things are incredible agents of change and influence for Christ. And Garrett and his wife Yvette and their project is just a perfect example of this.
Yeah.
Now, Garrett, tell us about this specific project. Why homeschooling? What was your passion? What was Yvette's passion? And how did it influence, one question is that, we'll start with that, and then I want to follow up with what happened during COVID specifically. But first, why homeschooling? What was your passion for that?
Sure. Well, actually, we never wanted to homeschool. And God changed our hearts about 10 years ago at a homeschool convention in California that our friends encouraged us to go to. But we were the family that always said we would never, never homeschool. But once we started, we saw that it was a great opportunity to train up the hearts of our children and to integrate God's word into every part of their education. And so we really became huge advocates of the movement. And even before we were making the movie, we would talk to everyone we know and say, hey, what are you doing with your kids' hearts day to day? Because we know that education is such an important part of the kids growing up, and that those decisions that are made affect their eternity. And so we wanted to call parents to this place where they would take the discipleship of their children seriously and really consider how day-to-day they were training their children. So
yeah, and
we felt...
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, we felt like a great way to do that was to use our talents in filmmaking to make this film to really show people what they could do and what the results would be.
No, that's fantastic. And you kind of answered where I was going with that. Like, the purpose of this, the homeschooling is a vehicle. The mission that we're called to as parents is to train up our children. And you guys saw that, hey, you know, you wanted to be with them really all the time and really just influence them and just invest in them in such a profound way. And I love it how, because we were the same way, just we were those never homeschool families, and we've done every kind of education for our kids. Our kids are older than yours. We've done every kind of education. Now, how did you do it? You're living in this motorhome for all this time, and you're traveling around. Now, you're talking to people, part of the homeschool movement. How did that happen?
God opened doors miraculously, and God provided miraculously. When we took off, we knew we had money to live a few months, but we had to trust God to provide, and He's done that for 5 years. When we started, we didn't know anyone who was going to be in the movie. We literally had no connections in the world, and God provided everyone. One of our first early interviews was a man named Andrew Pudawa, who's been in this industry for 30 years and knows everyone. And when we were able to interview him, he said, if there's anyone you need to talk to, you call me, and I'll help you get a hold of them. And God used him and others to open every door for us. And I can tell you that He provided an amazing cast, but it's not just experts and academics. It's also real families who are living this out and who have gotten to see God working in the hearts of their children over the years. And so it was truly all by His power and all for His glory. I am a perfect example of Christ's strength being exemplified in my weakness.
Amen.
That's awesome. And I'll say this, the film is called Homeschool, it's called Schoolhouse Rock, Schoolhouse Rock, The Homeschool Revolution. And as Garrett was saying, this is a powerful documentary. And yes, while it centers around homeschooling, it's really to inspire, encourage, and even challenge us parents to really just take our roles of discipling our children more serious. And I would say with each passing day, week, month, year in this society, it's more critical that we as the parents are incredibly invested, incredibly intentional with our kids.
Yes.
And again, while this is a homeschool-centered project, a homeschool-centered documentary, I looked at it and I was just, I don't even homeschool my kids right now. My kids are in public school right now. And yet, I still was challenged and encouraged to just step up my game to disciple my children. Did you guys see that as a part of it? As apart from just homeschooling, the discipling?
Yes. As we see culture changing so drastically and kind of walls coming down everywhere, and really it looks like the foundation is crumbling, we realize that part of the reason for that is because Christian families have been very comfortable, and they've trusted kind of Sunday school and Sunday morning church to do the discipling for them. And so no matter what the situation is with your education, we know that as Christians, if we want to transmit our values to our kids, we have to be intentional about that. We have to be in God's word and build a biblical worldview for them and a solid foundation. And that really takes time and investment in their hearts. And so we really wanted to encourage people. We didn't want to be the Holy Spirit and bring, you know, this heavy conviction to people. But at the same time, we know that we really needed a wake-up call as a church. And even our hearts needed that several years ago, and God was gracious to do that for us.
That's awesome. I know we have to go to a break, I believe, pretty soon. But at some point, I want to talk two things. We'll start it now.
You have about 1 minute, which is fine. I'll let you know.
Oh, Ann, you're the best. Ann's got it.
I got it.
Here, you got 1 minute, Garrett. You said something so profound to me, I think, last week about how COVID, because of the quarantine, all of a sudden, all of us had to be homeschool parents, whether we liked it or not. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, there are lots of reasons to praise God about COVID. And one of those is that parents' eyes were quickly opened to the fact that they could be with their kids all day.
Yep.
So many parents think, I could never do this. How would I manage my kids? How could I just deal with the time? How could I deal with the education? And COVID really took the curtain down and just made it so clear that parents could do that. I can tell you that homeschooling, it looks like it's probably tripled since COVID hit.
Wow. Oh, that's so true. And I hate to interrupt, but we have a station break. But I used to have a drama workshop for homeschoolers. Loved it. Okay, stay tuned for more of God in Hollywood with Brad Silverman and his guest Garrett Hampton.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to our newest segment, God in Hollywood, with host Brad Silverman of Kappa Studios in Burbank and his filmmaker guest, Garrett Hampton. And it's been so exciting. I love what you guys are talking about. So please continue.
Thank you, Anne. This is great. So what we started at Kappa Studios is we started the Christian Film Finishing Fund.
Yeah.
It's a nonprofit, tax-deductible entity where we invite, just as people are led, as people are praying, as the body of Christ sees themselves participating in projects that can impact the world for Christ, we've set it up so that people can make tax-deductible donations to help projects like Garrett get finished and get sent into the culture for maximum impact. So anyone listening, you can go to kappastudios.com. You'll find the Christian Film Finishing Fund tab. You can kind of find more about us and contact us, and we can give you a list and the film trailers and synopsis for dozens of projects that can impact the world for Christ, and you can see how you can make tax-deductible donations to help these projects get finished and into the culture.
Yeah.
So everyone, you can just pray about it and go to kappastudios.com and contact us. We can send you the film trailers and all that good stuff. But today, I just get so inspired. I get so fired up when I talk to Garrett. So, Garrett, what is your main takeaway? What do you hope that is accomplished through this documentary, Schoolhouse Rock?
Well, our hope is that there's a generational impact for Christ. We understand that as parents invest in the hearts of their children as they build a biblical worldview, as they share the gospel with their kids, those kids will go on to do the same with their kids and their grandkids. And so our hope really is so much more than just to have a successful film or to, you know, get into theaters or whatever. We want to see the gospel proclaimed, and we want to use this film as a tool. But then after that, we want to provide really great resources for these families to actually do what we're calling them to do. So along with the film, we've produced so far about 315 podcast episodes where we guide people through the process of training the hearts of their children, of teaching them day to day, of building healthy families, of parenting. And we want to walk alongside them as they disciple their children.
Brother, that is so cool. And as you can tell, Ann, this is why we wanted Garrett on, because he's leading the charge. He and his wife have just been called to such a wonderful ministry, and just to really help parents in all walks of life, in all stages of their parenting, to really just be more intentional. And so, Garrett, I know you won't talk about it, so I'll bring it up. What do you
okay.
How can I put this? You and Yvette have had to sacrifice a lot for this project, for Schoolhouse Rock. And I don't want you to point, I know it's not about you, but just for our sake, talk about what you've sacrificed. I want people to hear what you've sacrificed. And this is what encouraged me to want to get behind you and help you get to the finish line on this with God in Hollywood and with Kappa Studio. So what have you guys sacrificed through this?
Well, it's easier to talk about what my girls have sacrificed.
Okay,
because
at
the same time we left our home, we brought our girls with us on a mission, and they were called to leave their friends and their family in California as well. And we as a family lived in very, very tight quarters for a long time. We were really basically homeless for 4.5 years. Just in January, we are finally in a house again, which is a blessing. But because of that, for years, our family was kind of rolling stones, and our girls had to learn to survive on the road and to be very close to each other. It has been a great growing experience, but it's also been a challenge for them socially, and we've all had to learn to rely on God. Additionally, you know, this really was everything we had to get this movie done, and God has provided miraculously. He's sustained us. But at the same time, the reason it has taken 5 years is because, as you know, fundraising for Christian ministry is really hard, and we never really fully funded the film, which is kind of why we ended up at Kappa, because of the Christian Film Finishing Fund and that ministry to filmmakers. So we're so thankful that God provides that great tool for getting the gospel out.
Wow.
Brother. So, It's a joke. Sorry, Andy, you want to jump in?
I was going to say, you know, very quickly, I'm going to just say what comes to me is the enemy is out to get the children. He's out to get the children. And I think what you're doing is just so noble and so admirable. In Jesus' name, keep up the God work.
Yeah, and guys, you know, now you see, and hopefully the listeners as well, this is what really encouraged us to say, Garrett's the type of guy, his wife Yvette, They're the people we want to get behind.
Gotcha.
We want to rally around. We want to support them personally. We want to support their project because we believe in these folks. So, guys, if I don't mean to make this a sales pitch, but I mean this is something I'm so passionate about that if people, you could see a trailer for this movie, just contact us through kappastudios.com. We'll send anybody who wants it. We'll send you a trailer for this movie, some info on this movie, some info about Garrett and Yvette, and just see if the Lord leads, if we as the body of Christ would rally around them to see if we can help these guys financially get to the finish line to impact the culture.
Amen. And there's good timing. Thank you for joining us today for Kingdom Pursuits and God in Hollywood with Brad Silverman. And my brain just went to the ozone. Garrett Hampton, bless you and go out there and do God's work.
This is the Truth Network.